This morning, we do not study the Old Testament lesson. We don't study the epistle lesson. We don't even study the gospel lesson. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It reads, "When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it." We pray. Lord God, it's a simple story that we learned as a child. It is a simple story, Lord, that tells of one man who had courage. Help us this morning, on this morning, remind us of the courage that men went through, that one man would dare to go full, to give his life so that others would have a model, a way, a hope. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning we are studying probably a story that has been told ever since it happened. You can find this story in churches. You can also find this story in a lot of sporting events. Every time you have a big school that plays a small school, you kind of have this same analogy. So just a quick note here, this video from a very interesting movie. It's not very long. Let's take a look.
With God of heaven, it is all one. To deliver with a great multitude or a small company. For the victory of battle standeth not in the multitude of hosts, but strength cometh from heaven.
And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it. And it struck the Philistine on the head. And he fell to the ground. Amen. Amen.
So there you have your pep talk. It is a pep talk that has been looked at for a long time. The story of David and Goliath. The story of David and Goliath, and you probably don't even need to go over that story. But what's interesting is we go over so many times about what happened during the actual event. We tend to pass over some events that happened simply before that incident. How did we get there? And so this morning, we're going to sit at this a little bit, because David was a runt. Do we have any runts in here? Runt, I mean, he was the son, eight of eight. Anyone have eight?
Anyone have eight kids? You have eight kids. 11 kids. We just had to one-up that story, didn't we? Do all your kids... Okay, there is eight sons. Can you beat eight sons? Six. There's still time, right? So he was the youngest of eight sons, and when you're the youngest of eight sons, just ask one what the youngest son goes through, and technically he's the smallest one, he's used to looking up from the carpets most of the time because his brothers are a lot bigger than him, which, yeah, he's telling me, yes, that's correct. So when you're the smallest boy, you tend to get beaten up a lot, get picked on a lot. And so here we see this story of David and Goliath. And before he even meets someone bigger than him, we see that David is tending sheep. And so his father said, okay, your three brothers are at the battle line. I want you to go and give them some food and bring me back word that, A, they're still alive, and, B, bring me word that the strength of the Lord is with the army. And so David goes, and he goes to the battle line, and he's just so happy to be there as you are, because, you know, your little brother doesn't really know anything, right? And he's happy just to be around his big brothers. And so there you see David, and he's just so happy to be with his big old brothers. And the problem is that there's someone, I believe that he's not very nice. He's calling out the other people on the battle line. From 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, and as he talked with him, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. And here is this guy. The Bible records only a few words, but for 40 days and probably nights, you can see that ongoing, all the time, this guy was hurling insults. Now, to understand hurling insults, this guy usually doesn't go PG, PG-13. He is all out. Anything and everything that he can say, there is no limit to what he will say against God, against the people of Israel. He will call them out because he thinks they're weak. And so David hears this, and automatically he has something stirred up inside of him, and he's taking a look and looking around at all the other guys around him and saying, okay, what's going on with this guy? So no one's taking him on. Where is someone who will take on? Who has the courage to do that? And of course, this is the little pipsqueak, all right? This is the little runt that has been pushed down all of his life. And he finally sees this guy who is about as big as his older brothers were when he was a little infant. And he's saying, okay, God is mightier than him. Why aren't we taking care of him? Why are we letting someone else curse the name of our God and simply just do nothing? And so interesting enough is that David kind of had that angst about him. He said, okay, he wanted to defend God. He wanted to do something about it. He says, okay, there is a line, and this guy has crossed the line. And so he's saying, okay, what more can be done? What more can be done? And so interesting enough is that he says, you know what? Someone should take him on. I could probably take him on. This guy is not big. He's only 9 feet tall. I mean, that's like, you know, trying to go up against, you know, some of the biggest guys in the NBA. They're just like me. I mean, I could take one easily, right? Twice as big as me? Forget it. He's easy. But the problem is that this is the real story that I think we need to dive in just a little bit more this morning. You see, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28. Now, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Okay, the oldest son, when you're the oldest son, you know better. Right? The oldest child always knows everything and has no problem telling everybody else how they're wrong. Okay, there's way too much here. All right, so this might be correct. But the idea here is that you have your youngest brother calling out the courage of everybody around him, and the oldest brother said, dude, you have no idea, and you're just standing around, and you're just talk. And so he's asking, why have you come down here? Why are you here? What do you think you're doing here? And with whom? Did you just leave dad's business unlocked and you just came here allowing anybody and everybody to steal from dad? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see. All you want to see is the battle, to go home, to sit back, relax, and then go back to dad and say, oh, that was not. What are you going to do about it? And so David said, I'll do something about it. And he keeps chattering up the people of God. What are we going to do about this guy? And the king gets a wind of this. And the king says, okay, you need to come here. Let's see who you are. It's David. And all of a sudden, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight it with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. So two people in his life, the king and his oldest brother, are telling him flat out, not much you can do. You might as well go home. You're just a little kid. Just go home. God will handle this. Don't worry about it. Well, what do you think is in David's heart? If we look at David's heart, was he young? Yes. Did that stop him from caring about God's name being taken in vain, from God's name being put under a rock? Is that something just young people get in trouble for? Or is it something where we say, okay, there's something that needs to be done, and that might take a little courage from me? Interesting enough, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you had defied. And so inside his heart, David said, you know what? It doesn't matter what you come against me with. My God is greater than anything else that you can ever imagine. Why would I be ever, ever, ever fearful of you? You're just someone who has words. And of course, I think we know what happens. He comes against him with one stone. Does he miss? Why? Why doesn't he miss? Why doesn't he miss? Because you know what you're about to say. Because God's with him. And that's the most amazing thing to say. And even children are wanting to say it to all of us. Do you hear that? The children are wanting the adults, the bigger kids, who are saying, no, just calm down. They're wanting to say God was with them. Why aren't we? And so this morning, we look at all the different ways in which God has been with us, both with our families, both with our country, and both with the men and women who have served us. And we stop and say, thank you for having the courage to go where God has called you to be. Thank you for the courage of taking the Lord God and saying, God, would you go before us? So this morning, when we talk about courage, watch the young people and what they have courage about and what they care about. Are we to the point where we lose what we're fighting for, what we care about, where God is in our lives? Let's pray. Lord God, on this day we remember a time in which a young man looked at an event, and he didn't see what was on the other side. He saw what it is that he was standing up for. Lord God, he was standing up for what he believed. He believed in you more than anything else. He believed in you more than anything that he would hear from everybody else. Lord God, as a congregation, this is difficult for us to hear. Lord, we haven't necessarily stood up for who you are. Lord God, it's difficult in this day and age to do so. It's difficult to stand up, Lord, when we hear things from outside the church, from inside the church, from our own minds. Lord God, be with us, Lord. As Lord God, we need more courage. Needing more courage means we need more of you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.